This is Morning Edition on WNIJ. I'm Dan Klefstad with our Friday Forum. Today we begin a series of interviews about important Illinois primary races. This month we'll be joined by Scott Schraufnagel, chairman of the NIU Political Science Department. Scott, welcome to Morning Edition.
Glad to be here, Dan.
Let's begin with the race at the top of the March 20th ballot, that for Illinois governor. What's notable is incumbent Republican Bruce Rauner has a primary challenger, State Representative Jeannie Ives. Ives is a staunch conservative who's attacking Rauner over his signature on a law that allows state funding for some abortions. Ives, an Army veteran, is also hitting Rauner over his administration's handling of deadly Legionnaires' disease outbreaks at a state-run veterans home. Scott, how serious a threat is Ives to Governor Rauner?
When we're running for a statewide office, we generally think of a quality challenger as someone who has previously held statewide office. Ives doesn't possess that quality. So she will be well known in, you know, in Carroll Stream and Warrenville and Wheaton and so forth, but downstate and so forth, one wouldn't expect her to have much in the way of name recognition, which will compromise her chances. I mean, she's right in some respects, you know, in labeling Rauner as more liberal than she is and more progressive, perhaps. You know, a lot of people don't realize that Rauner was an advisor to Rahm Emanuel. So Rauner's politics, although he's been very steadfast in, you know, trying to promote certain pet policies, his politics, by and large, are a bit more liberal than the average Republican.
Well, Ives doesn't have Rauner's money or name recognition, but she has a consistent message that is targeted at core Republican voters. These are people upset over the abortion law and the income tax increase that came despite Rauner's veto. How effective is Ives when it comes to motivating the Republican base?
Well, we know in a primary election that voter turnout is going to be lower than it would be in a general election. And the people who show up in the primaries are going to be the more hardcore Republican Party members, the ones who take the stronger positions on some of these issues. And so she has an advantage in that regard. The turnout of the Republican base, it will benefit her. However, you know, there's this psychological thing that goes on where people, you know, voting in a primary are looking forward to the general election, and they're trying to think about who's most winnable, you know, who's going to win the general election. And I think that's going to work against her. The fact that Rauner is the incumbent will lead many Republican primary voters to choose Rauner as the safer bet to win in November.
Now, what does each candidate, Rauner and Ives, need to do to get their supporters to show up to the polls?
Well, Rauner hopes for higher voter turnout. A higher voter turnout will bring in more moderate Republicans, people more inclined to vote strategically. Ives would hope for a lot of rain or a bad weather day, low voter turnout, where it's just the most hardcore Republicans who show up. That would work to her advantage.
On the Democratic side, we have J.B. Pritzker, Chris Kennedy, Daniel Biss, T.O. Hardeman, Bob Diber, and Robert Marshall. This race appears to be shaping up as one between spending power and core Democratic values. We all know Pritzker has enough money to finance his campaign on his own. Among the others, which candidates are emerging as the more traditional party challengers?
Well, Pritzker, you know, has spent through December of 2017, $42 million of his own money. Now, you know, that might seem, well, and it should seem like a lot of money. However, when you consider his net worth of about $3.4 billion, it's only about 1.2% of all the money he has. I mean, and in some respects, he's taken a page out of the Bruce Rauner playbook in that he went with a major advertising campaign early in the election cycle and done so in an effective way to establish himself as a front runner. He's gotten, you know, the endorsements of the two sitting senators in the state and so forth. What I think is going to happen, the remaining candidates are probably going to split the anti-Pritzker vote, and Pritzker probably walks away with it, is what I'm going to guess. But, I mean, T.O. Hardeman, I mean, of course, he's got statewide name recognition. It's an important quality. He was Quinn's primary challenger in 2014. Biss is a professor in mathematics, PhD by the age of 25, very, very competent, intelligent. Chris Kennedy, I mean, he is, of course, Bobby Kennedy's son, a nephew of John F. Kennedy. He's worked hard to bring a lot of technology jobs to Chicago. He's been on the Board of Trustees of the University of Illinois, and he's now runs the family trust, so he's a very well-connected, but he's not spending nearly the kind of money that Pritzker is. Beyond that, the other candidates are long shots. Neighbor has got 20 years of experience in education, a school superintendent. Marshall, he's a 75-year-old physician. He actually ran in four different GOP primaries, including the GOP governor's primary in 1990. So he's a real outside shot at the Democratic nomination.
Well, if Pritzker wins the nomination, what message would that send to the Democratic Party establishment in Illinois and in other states as they seek candidates to run for office?
Yeah, well-funded works. He's also been quite strategic in his choice for lieutenant governor candidate, Julianne Stratton. She was backed by President Obama when she ran in a Democratic primary in 2016 and unseated the incumbent there. She's African-American. She should be able to galvanize a lot of black support throughout the state. You know, Pritzker also, I mean, he also has another connection to the Obama administration. His sister, Penny, was the Secretary of Commerce. So, you know, that kind of connections can't hurt him. And so, you know, the lesson to be learned by a successful Pritzker nomination would be, you know, to be well-funded, to start early, to maintain good connections in elite circles. And that seems to be what works if he wins.
Scott Schraufnagel chairs the Political Science Department at Northern Illinois University. Next Friday, we'll talk about the Republican and Democratic primaries in the 16th Congressional District. Scott, we'll see you then.
Okay, thanks.